The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Now, time for our culture roundup, and I'm joined this week by documentary maker Brian Redden and editor of the Business Post magazine, Nadine O'Regan. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon. Afternoon.
Brian, we'll start with the Friends reunion, maybe the one where they get back together, I think it's called. For me, no, this is the answer to the question nobody was asking, but a lot of people are very excited about it.
You are a Friends fan, though?
Yeah, kind of like, but I don't need to see a bunch of, you know, middle-aged, getting-on people getting back together.
Well, yeah, there might be a bit of that, all right. So it's been 17 years since it's been off the air, but I mean, it was like a cultural phenomenon. It was just Friends really just broke all box office records. I mean, it launched lots of fashion trends. It gave all these guys a career. It changed the way television was made. It changed the way people were paid in television. The guys were paid a fortune. So it has been an amazing phenomenon. I didn't really get it at the time, but in reruns, I kind of enjoy it now, I must say. So for 17 years, I've been trying to get these guys back together. Whether that's a good idea or not, we don't know. But, and it's been delayed constantly due to the pandemic, and they were going to film it last year and it didn't happen. Eventually it has happened, and it's coming out in America on the 27th of May on HBO Max, and it'll be shown on Sky then shortly afterwards here.
It's going to be on Sky 1 on Thursday night at 8 p.m. I believe, and
really?
But it will be available to on demand from 8 a.m. in the morning.
Interesting.
On no TV,
there'll be a huge demand for it.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about it, though, is it's not an episode. And that's what I think is, they've been very clever about this, because they're probably thinking, look, you know, can we do it again after 17 years? Can we recreate the magic? And let's not
see,
even try.
See, that would have been good.
That would have been kind of interesting to see where they are in their lives now.
Yeah.
But they've decided to kind of opt out of that and taken a kind of an easy option. So what it is, and people might be disappointed in this, it's kind of like a stage show. They're on stage. They're being interviewed about their characters. They're being interviewed about the show. They recreate classic moments from the show. They visit the set. They go behind the scenes. They bring guest stars back on to talk about their time on the show. So as people like Tom Selleck pops up on it, and unfortunately James Corden's involved in it as well, which would instantly turn me off.
A lot of people very angry that James Corden is the man helming it. Well, listen, as you say, it's been a cultural phenomenon, and not just for the generation who lived through it, but it obviously got a second life with the millennials, I think, and then a third life with Generation Y.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk now to comedian, content creator and Friend super fan Enya Martin. Enya, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going, Brendan?
Now, Enya, I'm not going to ask a woman her age, but can I ask you, were you a Friends super fan the first time it came out, or you're somebody who picked it up on reruns?
The reruns. So I was actually about 2 or 3 years after it actually ended. I started watching it on E4. So, yeah, I wasn't there for the hype when it was actually live on TV, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's on Netflix now, so you can just rewatch it till the cows come home, you know, so...
And then what is it about it, do you think, that has made it so popular again with people like you discovering it second time round, and now it seems to be having that third time round with younger people again?
I don't know what it is. It's just like, I think everyone can relate to a certain character in it, you know? Like, everyone has a group of friends, and, you know, everyone has the quirky one like Phoebe. Everyone has the smart aleck like Ross, the fashionista like Rachel, the clean freak like Monica, you know? Everyone has their... Everyone can relate to someone in the group. I think that's
who do you relate to, Enya?
I'd be more like Phoebe. I think I just love her. She's probably my favourite at the moment. I go through highs and lows of who my favourite is, but yeah, Phoebe, I can definitely resonate with at the moment. She's just quirky.
I believe you actually remember the first episode you watched, do you?
I do. It was the episode where Ross is marrying Emily, and he's a spoiler alert if you haven't been watching Friends. Where he says Rachel's name at the altar. It was that episode. And, you know, if you were watching that in real time, like all them years ago, you would have to wait a year to see what happened after he said Rachel's name at the altar. But I just had to wait 5 minutes and ad break, you know, and I got to see. It was brilliant.
Yeah. Now, is some of it problematic now in terms of, like, the cultural norms of the time were probably different. And, you know, the way a lot of stuff in the past now doesn't age well because of, you know, the way they might have joked about things or anything. Are there problematic aspects?
Oh, like when I'm watching it, when I'm watching reruns, I'm hearing some of the jokes, and I'm like, there's no way that they would get away with saying that in today's world, you know? Like, they would be cancelled straight away, especially with social media and Twitter and stuff. There'd be uproar, like there's it just wouldn't fly today, like, unfortunately. But it is a pity because it is funny, you know, but it wouldn't survive in today's world.
Yeah, but it hasn't been cancelled by the people who are rediscovering it again. They're obviously giving it a pass that, and saying, look, this was 20 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, you do. You have to kind of have a bit of perspective. Like, come on, it was in a time where, like, not that people weren't educated, but, you know, people weren't as, I suppose, touchy about that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and listen, in terms of then the as Brian was saying there earlier, like, it was a huge trendsetter as regards kind of, you know, everyone spoke like Chandler and, you know, had his catchphrase and everything. And then Rachel's hair was a big thing. Has that made a comeback at all?
Yeah, like, I remember actually saying in an interview, like, you know, she's looking back now and she's thinking, how did I get away with that hairstyle? Like, you know, people are going into hairdressers asking for that style, and I think it happened by accident, but God, no, you wouldn't be able to get away with that type of haircut these days.
Do you reckon? There could be a revival of the Rachel yet. Maybe it's just not time enough yet. And come here, are you excited about the reunion?
I am, and do you know what? Like Brian was saying, I'm actually glad it's done the way it is. I wouldn't like to see them redo it, you know, what, to say goodbye all over again. So I'm actually, you know, and do you know what? You'd never satisfy everybody. Like, people would still be complaining that it was crap and, you know, it didn't reach expectations. So I think what they're doing is the safe option, but I think it will satisfy people.
And what are you expecting to get from it, like, yourself? Emotionally,
I would love
and everything.
To see them, though, yeah. Sit down and be in character, you know, like, not an actual episode, like I said, but, you know, I think there is going to be a part where they will be in character and read from a script, and I'd be happy with that, you know, like, reminiscing and, yeah, just to see them in character again, like, and yeah. Actually see them live. Like I said, I couldn't watch it when I was a kid, but to actually see them in 2021 be in character would be just great.
Yeah, there's a texture here, Aisling says, Friends merchandise is in pennies. That says it all, Brendan. So are people wearing Friends t-shirts and that these days, yeah?
You know the way lads wear football jerseys when they're watching a football match? That's going to be like me when I'm watching the Friends reunion.
Really?
This week.
Fully kitted out, yeah?
I must have about 10 pairs of Friends PJs. Like, and all my followers and stuff on Instagram, they're always sending me in pictures of Friends merch and pennies and that. Like, it's great.
Okay. Now, I'm not suggesting anything about your own lifestyle, but do I get the impression that with the younger crowd, it's a kind of a thing you might do on a day when you're feeling a bit like staying on the couch, you've been out the night before, and you go for an old comforting binge of Friends? Is that how it's working?
Yeah, that's what I love about it. You can have it on in the background. You know, like when I'm doing work on the laptop or something, I'll have it on in the background, or I'm just having a lazy day. It's not the type of show where you have to, like, be clued into every second, where you have to focus. You can just come back in after 10 minutes and, like, you know where you are straight away. It's one of those shows.
That's low involvement kind of television. Yeah. And listen, are you annoyed about, I think people are annoyed about, one, there's no Paul Rudd is not appearing, and the other thing is James Corden is presenting it. People are like, well, he's got nothing to do with anything.
He gets his head in everywhere, doesn't he? He really does. And I heard he's not the nicest person in real life as well. Like, so, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not really mad about him. I would have preferred, like, Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel or something like that. But, and then Paul Rudd, yeah, they wanted to keep him on in the 10th season. That's why he stayed. And it's a pity because, you know, he's actually huge at the moment. He's, like, a big movie star now. So I'm very surprised he's not in it.
Yeah. Who is he? Whose boyfriend was he again?
He married Phoebe. Supposed to be, have a reoccurring role for a few episodes, but they actually loved them so much they kept them on.
Yeah, and he almost became one of them. All right.
Yeah.
All right, listen, well, Enya, enjoy it, and I hope it lives up to all your expectations. That's comedian and content creator Enya Martin. Thanks, Enya. Nadine, you're still there. You were too young for Friends, I'm going to say, as well, Nadine, first time around, were you?
You know, Enya's bringing back a lot of memories. I remember the moment when I think I realised that the Friends haircut, the Rachel haircut, was no longer something that you could actually request in a hair salon.
Did you have
it really
a Rachel?
Had gone past the point where it was still in fashion. And, you know, if you actually go online and look at what gets most Googled around Friends, you know, that haircut just lasted for, I mean, decades, it felt like, where women were still saying, look, can I have the Rachel do and the Rachel look. And yeah, I would totally agree that everybody had a particular affinity with a particular character. What's interesting, actually, next week, I think maybe it's my generation or maybe everyone is going to do this, but I think you can't help but compare the young version of the cast with the version that we see before us now. And inevitably, if you have an interest in, you know, movies and TV, you'll start thinking about the films they've been in, how successful they've been, who's kind of come out on top, who's created a really successful career for themselves. Not to say, I mean, clearly they never need to do anything again after Friends. But having said that, a lot of them would have had interest in different areas. And even to see, you know, the likes of Courtney Cox being so huge on Instagram, and obviously the Irish interest with Johnny McDade there as well. Like, it's interesting for all sorts of reasons beyond Friends, the actual episodes.
Yeah, I'm going to say that I think Joey wins for episodes, which is the best body of work that anyone who came out of Friends had. Okay, Brian Redden and Nadine O'Regan with us. And Brian, it looks like Netflix got first out of the traps with the Sophie Toscan-Duplantier documentary.
Yeah, they've kind of beaten Jim Sheridan to it. So it'll be interesting to see what that's like. So the Sophie, it's on Netflix. It's called Sophie, A Murder in West Cork. And it's not until the end of June 30th. I'm not quite sure when Jim's is actually coming out. So Jim Sheridan's made a 5-part series based on her murder, and Netflix series is a 3-part series. I think they have beaten him to it. I'm not quite sure. But it's the Oscar-winning producer behind that brilliant documentary, Searching for Sugarman, and also Man on Wire. It's a guy called Simon Chin. He's the producer of it. And what Jim has interviewed Bailey, so he has Bailey's take on it. They don't have Bailey in this, but they do have Sophie's family. So basically, it's based around the 1996 murder of Sophie Duplantier down in West Cork, down around Skull. And they spent a lot of time down in Skull interviewing a lot of the local people and the people involved in the case, the guards that investigated. And their coup was to get the family. They had her family involved, and they have her son involved. What it unravels, and whether it clearly doesn't get to the bottom of it, because we'd know about that by now if it did. But it says it does unravel some secrets that have never been revealed before. They're putting it out there as a real, you know, investigative journalist piece. But it, you know, we'll wait and see what it's like. It's a 3-part series. It's on Netflix. It's on at the end of June. It'll be interesting to watch it. Okay. I can't imagine they're going to unravel anything new.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to watch nonetheless.
Okay. Nadine, I have to say, I'm slightly kind of uncomfortable with the notion that we're kind of talking about like competing entertainment products coming out about this. And there's also a new episode of the West Cork podcast as well, which was a huge success, and which also dealt with this story.
Yeah, it was a huge success. They have a new episode, and you know, it's understandable that they would want to create a new episode, not least because of course the case has continued. And, you know, there was this situation where, the makers, Sam Bungie and Jennifer Ford, they travelled to Paris to cover Ian Bailey's trial in absentia, and the subsequent, the conversation about that and what it meant. But they're back because really they're the two people who, in the first place, I think, reignited the interest around the Sophie Toscan-Duplantier case. And their 13-part podcast, which now has a 14th part, was just so brilliantly done. If you haven't heard it, I mean, it was originally paywalled by Audible, so you had to be subscribed to Audible to hear it. But now it's emerged from that paywall. It's available on Apple with the new episode. And it really, I was listening to it yesterday. It's just so well produced by the pair. Now, in relation
of the country, aren't you?
I was interviewed as part of that podcast because I'm from Skibbereen and would have known Ian Bailey. We worked on a project together when I was a teenager, a video project.
Okay.
So I was interviewed as part of that. But actually the other two, the Netflix documentary and also the Jim Sheridan documentary, I tried to find out a little bit about what was happening in each of those instances. And I spoke to Jim Sheridan some days ago. And, you know, the original transmission date for that was flagged by Sky, actually, in adverts as May 9th. And now there has been this holdup for, you know, reasons that are not entirely clear. But certainly Netflix seemed to have the stronger bond and connection with the family. Netflix also got in touch with me to do a background interview some months back. And it's clear that both are taking quite different approaches to the material. And bear in mind, at the base of all this is a woman who lost her life, back in 1996.
Exactly.
And sometimes I think that all gets forgotten.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So look, we leave it there. So, Brian, on to lighter things. Season 3 of The Kominsky Method is landing also on Netflix on May 28th.
Yeah, it's one of the best things on Netflix, I think. I absolutely love this series. The first, so basically it's the story of Sandy Kominsky, who's a failed actor who now is an acting coach, played brilliantly by Michael Douglas, and his agent, played equally brilliantly by Alan Arkin. So the first two seasons basically looked at their lives together, their friends, they fall out, they get back together, they have various different love affairs, and it kind of follows the life of a failed and aging actor as he tries to, you know, get to grasp the brass ring one more time and have another career. And yeah, it's a really interesting dynamic between the two of them. Now, unfortunately, for some reason, and why I don't know, Alan Arkin didn't come back for this season, and I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
He decided he wasn't going to do it again, so they kill him off quite early in this season, and so he's quite rich, he's quite wealthy, so he's left his estate to Sandy Kominsky, played by Michael Douglas, and he has to then administer his estate. But there's lots of really interesting stuff. There's lots of comedy in it. Kathleen Turner turns up in it, and the last time she was on screen with Michael Douglas was way back in Romancing the Stone, when they were lovers in that. And here and she plays his ex-wife in this. So seeing the two of them together on screen all those years later is really cool.
I think for people who like Curb Your Enthusiasm, there's nearly a touch of that
there
about
is,
it. Okay, so that's
called
Netflix May 28th. Nadine, over on Sky Atlantic. Now, we mentioned Mayor of Easttown a few weeks ago, but I think it probably wasn't in people's consciousness then, but a lot of word of mouth has built in the last while, and I think it's coming to its conclusion now, so people can catch up with it on Sky Atlantic.
Sky Atlantic Now TV. It's brilliant. It's a 6-part drama. If you haven't checked it out yet, go and try and get hold of it. It's starring Kate Winslet as Mayor Sheehan. She's a small town Pennsylvania detective who she's investigating a local murder and also disappearances. But really where the drama excels is in offering up a tapestry of small town life and giving a really, really complicated but very, very powerful look at what it means to live out your life in kind of a world where, you know, the good guys aren't necessarily so good and the bad guys aren't necessarily so bad. It's riveting. I mean, in terms of binge watching, it's one of the best this year.
Yeah, and she is absolutely super in it. Brian, Army of the Dead on Netflix, does this do what it says on the tin?
This does exactly what it says. It's just as well that zombies eat brains, because you do not need your brain to enjoy this. So just check it at the door and watch it. So this thing, first of all, it's 18s, right? So don't watch it with your kids. Don't let your kids watch it, because it's quite violent. But it's called Army of the Dead, and it's directed by Zack Snyder. Now, Zack Snyder's in the news a lot lately because his 4.5-hour yawn version of Justice League has been re-released by Warner, and he's involved with the DC Universe. He's made all those Batman versus Superman movies, but he did start off with a remake of Dawn of the Dead, so the world of zombies is kind of very familiar to him. Now, in this story, this is a great story, right? So this is, the world's been overtaken by zombies, as it always is in a post-apocalyptic world. Why, I don't know. We all turn into zombies eventually, apparently. It's like Elvis impersonators, but a year 2030 there, everyone will be an Elvis impersonator, and that actually works here, because in Las Vegas, as there are plenty, there are actually zombie Elvis impersonators in this. So zombies have taken over Las Vegas. There's a vault there in one of the casinos. It's got millions and millions of dollars, and this team of experts have to go in and get the millions of dollars out before the zombies
don't bother giving us the plot. This is nonsense. Is it an entertaining watch?
It's really the lead guy in it is a guy called Dave Bautista, who's the big fella from Guardians of the Galaxy, and there's no scenery in it because he's chewed it all.
Okay,
but it's brilliant.
All right, that's Army of the Dead coming on Netflix. Nadine, more nonsense. What's Mythic Quest on Apple TV Plus? I know a lot of people will care a lot about this.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely terrible, but it's actually really enjoyable. It's like a combination of The Office mixed with High Fidelity, but it's for people who love video games rather than music. And the first series aired on Apple, I think it was back in 2020, and the new series has been available as of early May. And it's just the story of a small group of people who've been responsible for creating the biggest multiplayer video game of all time, and they're desperately trying to maintain the momentum of their success. But of course, they're subject to reviews by the likes of 12-year-old boys on YouTube who have immense power, millions of followers. So in a way, they're like the overlords of their terrain. And it's really deftly produced, very enjoyable, and just kind of turn your brain off sort of stuff.
Okay, perfect. And we all need one of those in our lives at all times. By the way, on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, have either of you watched The Crime of the Century yet? It's the Alex Gibney documentary about the opioid crisis. So it's up on Sky Documentaries. And it's Alex Gibney obviously made the Scientology one going clear, Enron, smartest guys in the room. Now, it's 4 hours, but it is an extraordinary story of how doctors, the pharma companies, everybody at every level conspired basically deliberately to create the opioid crisis in America. And I think that story is bubbling up anyway, because that guy, Patrick Radden-Keefe, who has that book, Empire of Pain, he features in it a lot. And Nadine, there's a lot of talk about his book, Empire of Pain, as well. It feels like the opioid crisis story is having a moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's a writer for The New Yorker, and I think got extreme pushback when he began investigating this story. And, you know, I haven't seen this yet. I've been trying to get hold of it, actually, as I didn't realise it was has just arrived. But yeah, it's a story that I think when you look even at a drama series like Mayor of Easttown, it's very casually depicted in that series that a lot of the teens are, you know, taking Oxy, as they term it. And it's the sort of casual opioid use that has crept in through doctors prescribing this drug, and the line that says that this drug is sort of moderately addictive as opposed to highly addictive, and the way in which that lie was spun through America is the subject of the documentary and has been the subject of the New Yorker journalists at work. And it's one of those topics that I think, you know, you're absolutely correct, it's just going to get bigger and bigger, so it's definitely worth
and
a look
at it. There's two parts of it, there's 4 hours in all, but it's it's much more riveting than it sounds. Guys, we just have a few minutes now to mark the fact that tomorrow Bob Dylan is 80. Nadine, you've picked out a Chrissie Hynde thing that's on Sky Arts tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's Chrissie Hynde Sings Bob Dylan, 9 p.m. Sky Arts, and it's on his 80th birthday tomorrow. She performs 10 of his tracks in her own style and discusses how she was inspired by him. Of course, she's the front woman of The Pretenders, and she has a new album out as well. It's just Chrissie Hynde Standing in the Doorway, which is, again, those covers. So it's, you know, she's not really particularly covering Dylan's best known songs. She's kind of instead going for, I suppose, fan classics and hidden gems, if you like. But I've had a listen to the album on Spotify, and it's very lovely, actually.
Yeah,
and
it's really good. Yeah.
Yeah, quite different in its interpretation at points and with a smoother production. But definitely, definitely worth a look and a listen.
Brian, are you a Dylan fan?
Oh, yeah, I love Dylan. Yeah, I can't believe he's 80.
Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of people hiding under the bed tomorrow because it's going to be Dylan mania.
It'll be Dylan mania, right, yeah. My favourite Dylan bit is actually his appearance in the band's Last Waltz. I mean, that is amazing. So if you really wanted to watch Dylan at his finest, The Last Waltz, directed by Martin Scorsese, which I think is actually on Netflix, but you'll find
and
it somewhere.
And didn't Scorsese kind of deconstructed or redid it recently, didn't he?
He did,
And it was really good. So, yeah, so look, we'll say happy birthday in advance to Bob Dylan. So thank you very much, Brian Redden and Nadine O'Regan.